Hello, everybody. This is Gerald Celente on Progressive Radio Network. Trends this week. A lot of trends this week, last week, and the week before. Yeah, we're living in a freak show. Living in a freak show. Who's your favorite freak? Who's the best clown to tell you what to do? Who's the most arrogant little piece of garbage, scum politician to tell you how to run and ruin your life? Close down your business. We got the COVID war to fight. I'm Andy Cuomo. I'm a daddy's boy. I'm an arrogant daddy's boy. Renaming the Tappan Zee Bridge after my daddy. Only cost you $30 million. The little plantation workers of Slavelandia will tell you what to do. We'll tell you what to do. Put on that mask when you walk into a restaurant. But you can take it off when you sit down. Because the COVID doesn't get you when you're sitting at table height. And it knows when you're eating. It knows when you are drinking. And it doesn't bother you then. Who's your favorite freak? I like Chuckie Schumer. I like Lindsey Graham. I like Mitch McConnell. No, Diane, not so Feinstein. I obey. I tell them. They tell me what to do. Look at the people in this country. You know, I remember when I was a kid watching a movie about the fall of the Roman Empire. And they had, you know, the people that were, you know, like the senators today. And they were a bunch of clowns and jerks. Yep, just like now. Just like now. Clowns and jerks destroying our lives and livelihoods. Front page article. Wall Street Journal. Russian court denies bail for detained Wall Street Journal reporter. Why those dirty Russians? Hey, how about Julian Assange? The hell with him! Let him stay in jail! But a Wall Street Journal reporter, oh my God, those dirty Russians! Oh, why is Assange in jail? For putting out the truth about American war crimes and on and on? Yeah, keep him in jail. It's the USSA! The United Kingdom. He's in the United Kingdom. Yep. By the way, the United States has become the country that our founding fathers fought against. Think about it. The sun never sets on the British Empire. I'm mentioning this because it goes back to the cover of our Trends Journal 2 weeks ago, Death of the Dollar. So the sun never set on the British Empire, meaning that they were invading countries all over the world and stealing and killing, stealing all the money and commodities that they could and killing anybody that they wanted. And they kept doing it and doing it and doing it. Brought you the First World War as well, got involved in that. And then after that, boop, that was the end of the pound. And that's when the dollar took over. The United States has become the United Kingdom. The sun never sets on the British Empire. And the sun never sets on American military bases. Yep. 800 or so in 80 countries. As this country's going down the crapper. This is really serious. The destruction of our country is right in front of our eyes. And so few care about it. Or doing anything about it. I was in Chicago this last weekend, did a talk for the Mises Institute. And I got to tell you, you know, they're showing all this stuff about Chicago, what happened with these a couple of days ago, these young people smashing windows and stuff. Yeah, you know, stuff happens. But, you know, the vibe in Chicago was better than New York City. To me. I lived in Chicago for 6 years, you know, a place pretty good. But anyway, you know, one of the things I talked about was exactly what I'm talking about now. It's how America has become the country that our founding fathers fought against. The British Empire, where people lost all their freedom and rights. And the people fought against it, the Stamp Act, one thing after another, and they had a revolution. You know, I do a podcast each week with Judge Andrew Napolitano. Judging Freedom is his site. You should go to it. He has great guests on, Scott Ritter, Colonel Douglas McGregor. And last week, McGregor was on with the judge, and they were talking about the leaked Ukrainian documents. And the quote from McGregor was, "The general public need to know that virtually from the beginning, the people in government at every level have lied to them." Talking about the Ukraine war. "The American people need to stop it. Only they can do it." Yep. The American people need to stop it. Only they can do it. So you, the American people listening to this audio, this live trends this week, broadcast, what are you doing? What are you doing? How can we let the little freaks in charge run and ruin our lives? The COVID war has destroyed businesses, the spirit of people. The damage is incalculable. Where were the people fighting it? Yeah, they were us, the Gary Knowles, the RFK Juniors, myself, a number of us, Malone. But where were the masses of the people? Oh, the masses, they did what they were told. I mentioned Chicago, right? First of all, the nightlife, I'm a night guy. You know, I'm a night kind of guy. And bartended my way through college. Bartended after getting out of graduate school. I like going out at night. Now, nighttime is dead time. Where I am up here in Kingston, New York, Woodstock, this whole area, 9, 10 o'clock at night, empty, 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 empty. Going back to Chicago. Great scene. Go to a nice restaurant, beautiful bar, big restaurant, seating outside, piano, guy playing a piano, women sitting around the piano, another place, quartet playing, you know. And the age group, my age, I'm an old cat, you know, I'm 76, to people in their mid-30s. And in streets with bars, you know, young people all over the place. Very different than in New York City. Now in New York, when I go into the city, it's mostly younger people that are out, not old people. So the COVID thing has changed a lot. But going back to the other scene in Chicago, you know, down in the downtown area, you know, beautiful restaurants, you know, beautiful buildings and with seating outside. And at lunchtime, the restaurants are closed. You know why? Simply because office occupancy rate is so low. People aren't eating lunch anymore. They're not going into work anymore. They're coming in 2 or 3 days a week, if at all. We'd warned about the office building bust. We were the first to do it 3 years ago. Now it is just making the news. You are going to see an economic collapse, the likes of which we've never seen before. There are trillions of dollars worth of loans. All these big office buildings, they overbuilt before all this happened. Oh, and now you have floating interest rates, or mortgage rates. They're floating on a lot of these. So as the interest rates go up, they got to pay more on their loans, these building owners. And they're not individual, you know, these big companies. So what does that mean? Well, hey, I'm a tenant in one of the buildings, and now I'm having my employees work 2 or 3 days at home, or come 2 or 3 days at work. I don't need all this office space. And they're sitting in cubicles anyway in my joint, in this place. What are they got to be here for? I don't need all this to spend this money in rent. So now your lease is up and you're not renewing it like you used to, getting only a couple of floors rather than many floors. How are you going to pay your loan? Guess what? You're not. Guess what? You're not. You are going to see a banking crisis that is worse than the panic of 08. Yep. Worse than the panic of 08. It's right in front of our eyes, and virtually no one out there is talking about it. And the reason they're not talking about it is because two reasons. Number one, journalism is dead. They have hardly any reporters anymore. And number two, they're prostitutes. They're media whores. They get paid to put out what their corporate pimps and government whoremasters tell them what to do. End of story. Yep. This crisis is going to bring down banks like you've never seen. And by the way, money's flooding out of the banks. They're going into safer investments. So you got a real crisis at hand. A real crisis at hand. You look at the economic section of what's going on. So where's the economy headed? Will equities go up as they continue to do? Gold prices hit their highs, now they're going lower. Will inflation rise or fall? Excuse me. Got to get a little water here. So, here's the deal. Today is April 19th. On May 3rd, we will know the answer to these and other important socioeconomic trends shaping the future. Why May 3rd? That's when the U.S. Fed announces whether it will hold interest rates where they are or raise them. And there's barely a bed on the street, on Wall Street, you know, the gangster banksters, the players, that the Fed will lower interest rates when they, but the guess is hikes or no hikes, and that keeps changing. You go back a few weeks ago, the street was betting the Fed would hold interest rates. And that's why gold prices hit over $2,040 an ounce, and the equity markets went up. But now, with a stronger than expected earnings season, the bet on the street shows that over 90% of the market players anticipate a 25 basis point increase when the Fed meets in May. And then you got this guy, this Larry Fink, perfect name, the CEO of BlackRock, whose firm manages $10 trillion in assets. And now they're saying that in another couple of years, it's going to be $15 trillion. This is the top member of the White Shoe Boy Club. Think. Again, when I was a young guy, these asset management groups didn't exist. Private equity groups, venture capitalists. Nope. Used to be called a country called America, the land of opportunity. That's dead. It's a land of no opportunity. It's only about the big zoning everything. So anyway, this Fink said, quote, "I think we're going to have two or three more rate increases. The reason why is I believe interest rates need to go higher, especially in the short end, because we have stricter inflation." He said this to Fox Business on Friday. So, does Fink know what's next? Or is he just making this up to Fink the people? Two or three more is going to bring down the economy. It's a very simple equation. The higher interest rates go, the deeper the economy will fall, and the deeper equity markets will fall. End of story. You don't have to, it's very, 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 very simple. It's across the board. The higher interest rates go, the higher mortgage rates are going. So now your 30-year fixed mortgage is at 6.43%. It was less than half of that a year ago. So you're seeing the applications to refinance a home loan decreased 6% from last week, and you ready? It's 56% lower than the same week a year ago. Again, the higher interest rates go, the deeper the economy will fall, and the equity markets will fall. And as for gold, yeah, it's going to go down as interest rates go up. But when the economy goes down really steep and hard, you're going to see gold prices go back up. we are headed again, as I keep saying, for the worst socioeconomic and geopolitical crisis in modern history. Again, no one's talking about the office building bust. It's huge. Now, also understand this. As interest rates go up, it doesn't bring the economy down immediately. It takes time. And now they've been raising interest rates for a year. The time is now. And we're going from dollars to dimes because that's what the dollar's not going to be worth. The dollar's going to go down big. You even saw this past weekend, Janet Yellen screaming that there's a little bit danger about the dollar. Again, get this in your head. The Federal Reserve, the banksters run this country. Janet Yellen was the former head of the Federal Reserve, and now she's our Treasury Secretary. All right? It's not a revolving door. It's one door. And the banks, the bandits, control it. So, this Sunday, she's on the Cartoon News Network, CNN, and said, quote, there is a risk when we use financial sanctions that are linked to the role of the dollar that over time it could undermine the hegemony of the dollar. And she goes on to say, and that the U.S. uses the dollar as a very effective tool. Isn't that nice to know? There you have it. Hegemony and a tool, both of which much of the world has had enough of the United States economically and military hegemony and will not be a tool of Washington. Could you imagine? They're using the dollar for hegemony and a tool. Screw the people. What do we care about you? You're nothing more than scum. How about using the dollar as a tool for we the people of the United States? Nah. We use it for military and economic hegemony and as a tool against those we don't like. So the headline on Monday on the Drudge Report, dollar under fire from rival nations. What if it loses world dominance? What if it loses world dominance? From France to Brazil, from Saudi Arabia to South Africa, BRICS and other nations are forming, quote, global strategic partnership with China. Political leaders across the globe have loudly expressed that they are, quote, not vassals, end quote, of America, and asked themselves, quote, why all countries have to base their trade on the dollar rather than do trade based on their own currencies. And now you're seeing the change. Recently, Saudi Arabia agreed to sell oil to China. Now, we don't want your dollars. We're going to pay you with our yuan. And Saudi said, okay. You look at the facts. After hitting a high last September, the dollar's now down 10% against the six largest rivals. And it's the worst performing currency among the G10, according to Rabobank. So indeed, the downtick of the dollar has been long coming. Here are the facts. Back in the late 1990s, go back to the Asian currency crisis, which, by the way, the Trends Journal had forecast it was going to happen. The dollar accounted for 70% of the central bank's foreign reserves. And that's according to the IMF, the International Mafia Fed, oh, Monetary Fund. So last year, 58%. So here's the trend forecast. And we've been saying this for a long time. When interest rates in the United States decline, so too will the value of the dollar. And while 84% of global trade is dollar denominated, and the Chinese yuan accounts for only less than 5%, the currency game is changing. Again, the yuan's around 5% of trade. A year ago, it was only 1.8%. Read the headline blared last Friday in the Financial Times. Renminbi's share of trade finance doubles since start of Ukraine war. The renminbi is the yuan, Chinese yuan. As I keep saying, the 20th century was the American century, and the 21st century will be the Chinese century. Thus, the stronger the Chinese economy grows, so too will it continue its ascent as the world's largest trading partner that many more nations will be doing business with. So while the dollar is not going to collapse as the world's reserve currency overnight, the dollar nightmare has begun, and its erosion will be slow and steady. But there's always those wild cards. The dollar will crash if one of those wild cards are played. And one of those wild cards is if OPEC gets us off the petrodollar, the thing that was invented in the 1970s that they don't want to do anymore. The world has had enough of America, much of it. India, the BRICS, Brazil, India, China, Russia, South Africa, and others. India, 1.4 billion people. China, 1.4 billion people. 2.8 billion people, two countries. How many people does America have? 332 million? That's it. They've had enough. America has become the country our founding fathers fought against. United Kingdom. And just like the United Kingdom went down, we're going to go down as hard and big as well, unless we change it. Again, it does not take a majority to prevail, but rather an irate, tireless minority keen on setting brush fires of freedom in the minds of men. Since Samuel Adams, and we are them. We're going to take a break. If you have any questions or answers, feel free to call 888-874-4888, 888-874-4888. We'll be right back. Hello, everybody. Welcome to Progressive Radio Network. This is Gerald Celente and Trends This Week. Now, I was talking about the economy before and where it's going and what's next and on and on. And again, if you have any questions or answers, feel free to call 888-874-4888. I want to mention something else. They say that inflation is going down. Well, you know, the latest numbers show that the The core prices, which, you know, affect us, it's up 5.6%. Okay, 5.6%. And when you go to John Williams shadow stats, it's more than double that because they rigged the numbers, so they don't have to pay us more in Social Security because our Social Security payments are go up as the consumer price index goes up. And they started rigging it in the 1980s. Bill Clinton rigged it the worst, and Jimmy Carter. No, before Carter, after Carter. But anyway, going back, you know, like, for example, the housing prices went up over 40% in 2 years. Well, we're not going to put that in there. People living in apartments and blah, 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 blah. The price of steak went up 100%. Well, the people eating chopped meat, and they changed their diet. They changed their blah, 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 blah. So they rigged the numbers. But even if you go by the 5.6%, hourly wages increased 4.2%. Okay. So inflation's, you're earning a lot less than inflation. Now, it's costing you more to buy less. That's the story. We got Eve from Edgewater. How you doing there?
Hi, Gerald.
Hello there.
How are you? Yeah.
I'm all right.
Remember when you told us a story about Connolly, Senator Connolly? Hello? Hello? Gerald?
Hello?
Hello?
Yeah. Hello there, E.
Yeah. Do you remember when you told us the story about Senator Connolly?
Yep.
When he told you your book, Gerald, is a nice piece of work, but if you really knew what was going on, your head'd be spinning. Did you ask him what he meant by that?
That's not what he said. He said your book is loved. Your book is great. Trend tracking far better than Megatrends, Time Magazine, and I know your heart is in the right place, but you don't have a clue what's going on, and neither do the American people. Because if they did, there'd be a revolution in this country. So go on.
All right. All right. So did you ask him to expand on what he meant by that?
No.
Why not?
Because I was being respectful to him. And I also knew that, you know, he was being very cordial, very nice. And I just let him keep talking. And I'll tell you, backtrack a bit. I didn't like Connolly from what I knew about him. Again, this is the guy that took us off the gold standard in 1972. 71 or 72, I think it was 72. And I didn't like who he was. So before we went to the book depository, we're having lunch at the Anatole Hotel. Me, him, guy by the name of John J. Hooker, Rama Fox, who was Larry King's girlfriend at the time. And it was Hooker that got Ross Perot on Larry King when that was a big show to announce he's running for president. And Pat Caddell, who was a top pollster at the time, doing the polling for Perot. And we were having lunch, and Connolly starts talking. And the first thing that happened to me, I was ashamed of myself for having judged somebody for not knowing them. Every word that he was speaking was a sentence, and every sentence a paragraph. And as the other people started talking, I cut them off so I could hear what Connolly had to say. So to answer your question, I just let him keep talking. And the other thing, too, is I knew that he was dying because I'm sitting across from him in a limousine, and on his hands, he had all these big purplish splotches. And I asked him, how you feeling? He said, not so good. He said, they had me on prednisone. They say I have adhesions in my lungs. Remember, he got the bullet went through his back, through his lungs, through his chest, through his hand. And my father, may he rest in peace, died of asbestos poisoning. He used to work in the shipyards during World War II. And this is back in the early 80s, my father, and I didn't know anything about natural healing or anything else. And they had him on heavy doses of prednisone. And his hands looked exactly like Connolly's. So I knew Connolly was going to die. And I mentioned it to Hooker as well. But anyway, so go on. That's why I didn't say anything.
Yeah. Okay, I understand, Joe. It seems that Connolly also was played in the game. I thought he might have been able to explain things like that I'm trying to explain to you about how this is an illusion and how all these things is a master plan and have these things planned out. But he didn't expand on it.
No, not planned out at all. Not planned out at all. As it happens, they do it. As events happen, they change into them. This is the Connolly that also went into it with Reagan that to defeat Carter by making a deal with Iran to free the guys when they were holding them in Iran. So no, they play it as it goes on. It's not a big plan. It happens as it happens, and they start dealing with the plan as it happens. Not that we have this plan that's going to put in practice 10 years. We're going 10 years ahead. I don't see it like that at all.
Well, it's like a trick. You know, we bought in to everything that they told us because it looked like we were living in a good system back in the 60s when our fathers and uncles came back from World War II. They had listen, Joe, did you watch the East Side Gang when you were young?
Of course.
All right. Who was your favorite character?
Oh, I don't remember now. I don't remember them.
I bet you it was Muggsy because that's where your personality sort of comes from. I was a little younger boy. I was half your age at the time, and I liked Satchmo Guy because he was funny, right? But I'm just showing you how they use television to manipulate our minds, and they did that to our fathers and uncles with Humphrey Bogart and James Cagney and all those tough guys because they wanted our uncles and fathers to be tough guys, you know, because they had to go do some real tough stuff. But it was all planned out so that it was going to end up that we were going to be the beneficiaries of all of this hard work that our uncles and fathers did. And we have to respect that.
It's been going on forever. I talk about Napoleon's march to Moscow with 420,000 men when he left Poland and came back with 10,000. You don't need television. You don't need the media. It's been going. What's your favorite war? The Peloponnesian War? No, I like the Crusades. Which one? The first or the 17th? I mean, it's been going on forever.
All right.
It's been going on forever.
The Ukraine and Russia thing a war. I call that genocide on the Ukraine people. Now, if we were attacked by Canada, don't you think we would line up on the border and shoot back into Canada? Well, how come Ukraine isn't doing that back to Russia? How come they're not lining up on the border, which they have a big common border with Russia, right?
Because Russia could, again, how about the Ukrainians that killed over 14,000 people in the Donbass region?
Right. I'm not sticking up for the Ukrainians. I'm just explaining what's really going on there so they could raise the prices of everything and think and have us thinking that there's a real war going on.
To me, it's the United States has not stopped fighting the Cold War. It's been going on all our lives. Again, you and I remember when they had us hiding under desks in case the Soviet Union dropped an atom bomb.
Right. Right, Gerald, but after George Bush Sr. said New World Order, everything changed after that. Russia became our friends. We helped them reform their country. But Putin was letting us use the space shuttle for 10 years that they had. We didn't have one. We couldn't get to the space station without his help. He is our friend. You're not understanding that.
I am understanding it. I understand it differently than you do. I look at it differently than you do.
All right,
again,
explain.
To me, as I'm saying, war has been going on forever. And to me,
then why
it's
would
demonic.
Putin let us use the space shuttle?
I don't care about the space shuttle. I'm going back since the beginning of time. War after war. And it's the demonic people in charge.
And all it is about is population control. That's what
it's about.
But they tell us it's something different, so we buy into
come on.
It.
What are you talking about?
When I get up here on the 27th...
population control? The Peloponnesian War was population control? You got murderers and murderers. You don't ask them why they do it. They're crazy people. And crazy people...
Yeah.
You know, Dwight D. Eisenhower had a great quote. He said, any man seeking the... You could look it up. Any man seeking the office of president is either an egomaniac or crazy. So that's the way I see it.
I understand that, Gerald. I'm trying to explain to you these things I'm throwing in there about the space shuttle. And that. What about the... Now, in because of technology and great medical breakthroughs, people can extend their lives long now. Just like if you repair a car that's dead, you give it all new parts, you turn the key, it starts up, it goes. If you get new livers, new organs, you can live a long, long time like Nancy Pelosi. Now, we also are going to be taken over by machines that are taking our place. So those things were never known back when the Peloponnesian War was going on. But now they have a new...
It's a different time and different stuff. But the bottom line is you got crazy, demonic people in charge. That's the way I see it. So, E, thanks a lot. I appreciate what you're saying. And I'm sure there are a lot of people that appreciate it as well. I see things differently than you. That's all. And
Gerald,
you know, the motto, by the way,
the
Trends Journal magazine is think for yourself. So I'm not disagreeing with you. I just see it differently.
All right, Gerald, the housing market is regional because down here in Florida, I paid $130,000 for my house. I'm getting offers of $300,000 already, and it's, you know, we're in a bad economy right now. Down here, people are dying to move. I'm here 10 years. The population has doubled down here. Traffic is everywhere. I can't stand it anymore. I got to get out of here. But
where do you want to go?
But I'm going to be free. I'm not going to own no house. I'm not going to own nothing. And I'm going to come up to Kingston. I'm going to go to Jersey to my friends. I got a friend down in Boca Raton. I'm going to be going around. And I got things
to do,
Gerald.
Where are you in Florida?
I'm in Edgewater. That's why I call myself E from Edgewater. Edgewater, Florida, is right by Newton Myrtle Beach. You know where Daytona is? I'm... 20 miles south.
Okay.
20 miles south from Daytona. That's Edgewater. Okay. We're right on the East Coast here, all right?
All right.
I can't stand being here
anymore.
No more. Huh?
It's no more fun anymore down there.
No, it's no fun anywhere. Do you have any places up there, apartments to rent up there anywhere?
No, I don't like it up here anymore either. It's too libtard for me. Listen, I got other callers here. Yeah, so thanks a lot. And by the way, we're going to have a Peace and Freedom rally on May 27th in Kingston. Gary Null is going to be one of the speakers. Judge Andrew Napolitano, John Whitehead, Frank Morano, and others. So we'll have more information on it. Maybe you can make it up here. I'd love to meet you. Thanks a lot.
I've
got Matt from Portland. Hello, Matt. Where's Matt?
Hey, hello.
Hello there, Matt.
Okay. Oh, sorry. It sounds like you have a simultaneous conversation going on. I haven't called in a while, but you know, in light of all these bank failures, and you know, it's been a couple of weeks since we've had one. The topic of unpaid derivatives seldom comes up in this, and you know. And I haven't really heard anyone really go into depth about this in quite some time. And some of the lower end of these unpaid debt, derivatives are somewhere between the $500 trillion to the whopping $1.2 quadrillion, if that's even a number. And I'm just wondering, in your opinion, when does those derivatives, in light of banks crashing and you know, lack of liquidity and bank runs, when do those become an actual reality, or do those even matter anymore?
Well, they matter, and matter, by the way, the person that I know that talks about them the best and better than I do is a guy You may have heard of him before. His name is Gary Null. And Gary Null has gone into this in detail.
Just in more than anything else. But that just seems like a massive topic on its own.
I'm telling you, Gary Null comes up as a thousand pounds. And you should check it out. Go back to his broadcasts on this. He's been really going at this full steam about the big problem with derivatives that are not being talked about. And
it's a really big deal, it seems like.
I'm sorry, what?
Oh, no. It just seems like a massive deal. I would think that it'd be, like, just front and center, especially, like, right now.
They won't put it front and center because they don't want to freak out the people.
That's understandable. But the banks did crash, and these other things are, you know, they're going to bring other banks down with it. Like you said, the, like, another factor that, you know, you and Zero Hedge are the only ones that I know that talk about this, and not to say that, you know, I listen to everybody, but, you know, are the commercial real estate, you know, the rentals, and are those going to be taking down businesses too, and other bank loans and et cetera, and defaults stemming from that? But, this is something that, when does it actually come to fruition, in your opinion, like when we're starting to having to deal with this before, you know, when does it become unavoidable, do you think?
It's unavoidable now. It's only a matter of time. And again, as they raise interest rates, they're going to make a very bad situation much, much worse. And again, that guy Fink that I mentioned, he said they're going to raise them two or three times more. You watch what happens on May 3rd when they raise interest rates 25 basis points. You're going to see the markets go way down. I mean, this thing is terrible, what's happening. And again, it's not being talked about at all. And so the worst is yet to come. And again, I really suggest you go back to Gary Null's, you know, broadcast. He breaks all down right. this derivative situation, you know, better than anyone I've seen. And it's a crisis in front of everybody's eyes.
Yeah, that's right. You know, it was another odd thing about this is usually these things don't happen till after the summer, like right around September, October, at least major events, financial events. But now they're happening in April, March.
Oh, no, wait. Let me stop you with that. We had said back in late January that watch out for March Madness. And the reason being is that we had the dot-com bust happen in March of 2000. The markets go down either in right after the holiday season in the winter, after Christmas, the holiday spending, you know that. And the other time it happens is after the summer holidays. So the two times are October and March, when the flames start rising and people could see them. And the reason being is that you have in the summer, people are taking vacations. August is a dead time. And then you get back by late September, they start looking at the numbers. How much are the retailers buying for the holiday seasons? What are the numbers coming in on consumer spending? So then the reality sets in October. Same thing in March. That's why it happens at both times of the year.
Curious. Yeah, wow. Yeah, I just see, you know, I also feel like this is, you talk about this, this is just unresolved problems, even stemming back from 2008 that just sort of, you know, kicked down the road a bit. And, and then it just, it compounds more. You know, I wasn't expecting, you know, the Silicon Valley Bank, that was like a bank that wasn't really front and center of my consciousness, and then that happened. It was, you know, it's a bigger deal than I thought it was.
Yeah. Again, you know, this has been building up, and now it's going to bust, and they're going to do. But again, as I say, when all else fails, they take you to war. You know,
yeah, you've talked about, like, you know, the dollar. Gary Null talks about the dollar and China taking over. When do they play that war card? What would have to happen? Because they don't want to do it right away, because that has some serious consequences. But when does it become absolutely unavoidable to the establishment, where they would have to see as like a, you know, some sort of military interaction? Or is it that? Is it even too late for that?
What they'll do is it'll be a false flag event or a nuclear exchange, like with between, say, Russia and you know. Look what happened. Let's go back several months ago when all of a sudden the news broke that Russia fired a missile into Poland and killed two people. Oh, my God. How many people are dead in Yemen? About 377,000. Oh, but they killed two in Poland. Oh, and the Russians didn't do it? The Ukrainians did it? But remember how the media blew it up to the Russians are at it again. The Russians are at it again. So they keep teaching us to hate the Russians, and the people hate them dearly. You know, they keep buying the line. And so again, look what happened with little Georgie Bush taking us to war against Afghanistan. I mean, you know, he was talking before about, you know, TV. I mean, you couldn't make this up on a TV station. We had little Georgie Bush say, "We're going to get that guy Osama bin Laden, dead or alive." And he said that because he used to watch the Westerns. He says this.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
And 88% of the people swallowed it. 88% of the people listened to this little stupid jerk.
Yeah. Yeah, it's going to be very telling. You know, and you said May 3rd is when May 5th is when
they're going to announce it, and that's going to be the time. You know, and again, by the way, I've been saying the 20th century was the American century, and the 21st century is going to be unfortunately the Chinese century. The reason being is that the business of America has been war, and the business of China is business. And America's business of war is now going off for some 75 years. And it's probably hundreds of trillions of dollars we spent when you really put it together. That if we had put that money into building America, into educating the people in the finest way possible, you know what he was saying about, you know, they're going to have these things that people live on and on. No, they won't. Look at the shape that people are in.
Right. Maybe they're hyper wealthy that actually kind of have that diluted idea of themselves, because if the technology is there, they can afford it. I don't see most people doing that. And I think even if you do live, it's not going to be a place you're going to want to hang out in, especially after a nuclear exchange. Oh, one last question, Gerald. Just kind of off the cuff, do you have any idea what the next bank that's going to fail, that was going to be in trouble in recent weeks, in the coming weeks,
no,
I should say?
No, but it'll probably be, it's not going to be one of the bigs. It will be, it'll be one of the mid-sized banks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. It's funny, that was you know, week after week there was like several banks. It was just like, I see a trend happening, but it seemed to quell off for now, for what it's worth. All right, well, thank you, Gerald, for taking my call.
Well, no, thank you, and everybody listening, please do what you can to support Progressive Radio Network, because they're doing everything they can to support you, and it's very hard to find this kind of information anywhere else. The variety of hosts they have, what Gary Null puts out, and what their staff is doing. And of course, if you want to read history before it happens, subscribe to the Trends Journal. Go to trendsjournal.com. Bye-bye.